Season of fasting, the time of fasting is to call us to evaluate, how am I doing as serving? The selflessness, the selfless life, not self-promotional life, but serving others. How am I doing with that? How am I doing with the judicial side of that? That can be expensive. But it's kind of clear here that God wants us to be mindful of those who are wrongly being abused and mistreated by the law. And we have had many in recent years who have been righteous, some politicians, many spiritual leaders who have come under severe attack by false judicial arrangements and decisions. Our president has come under constant attack from the legal arena. But here there is this call to us that we are not to disengage, but we are to actually engage as a part of that fight. This past week, I had a call on Thursday, and the call was regarding a Muslim community that is desiring to build in Indian River County. And the call that I received was giving all these details about a planning and zoning meeting that was coming up in Indian River County, and that over 1,000 acres of property has been purchased by the same Islamist group that's in Texas looking to build a city. They have bought thousands of acres of land across our nation. We know that in Michigan there is a very strong community that seeks to establish Sharia law. And so this same organization that is out in Texas has moved into the state of Florida and purchased over 1,000 acres looking to build this entire city up in Indian River County and looking to establish within their community their faith and their guidelines. And so obviously this was an alarm to the brother who was calling me, did some research and found out that indeed that is exactly what's going on in Indian River County. And so when I searched the agenda of the meeting, I found nothing about this Islamic community city that was looking to be built. And I thought, boy, I've been there before. The enemy knows how to bury his agenda and knows how to make it sound really nice, like it's something positive. It's going to be a good thing. And I thought, here, this is a strong agenda that is raising up a lot of issues in our nation. And yet, here we are, right here on the Treasure Coast, and I was not conscious of that had been going on. It's been in the works for some time. My wife shared with me this morning that, and I did go on the radio, and I did share, and I did call people to go to the meeting and encourage people to call their friends and neighbors if they lived in Vero Beach area and get to that planning meeting. And I understand the meeting was absolutely packed with Christians, packed with standing room only, saying that we do not want Sharia law in the state of Florida, and we do not want another Dearborn, Michigan in our state, and we do not want our leadership being taken over by Islamic leaders. And so I say, praise God. But when I read in Isaiah, and I read this about the kind of fasting I want you to do to free those who are wrongly imprisoned and to stop oppressing those who work for you. And while we're here this morning, and I don't know how many people have lost their lives in Iran, but some numbers are into the tens, 20s, maybe some have said as much as 30,000 people. And understand that Iran has many Christians that are in the nation, and I don't have a report yet on how that has impacted their lives, but I know that they're impacted. And I know that, thank you, Roger, for delivering to us a gift, a Bible that calls our awakening and awareness to the persecuted church. But it seems evident to me that my lifetime, there are more persecuted and more martyrs than there have been at any other time in history. Now, if you research that, I believe you're going to find that to be the case. It does not make the nightly news. It is not the most important thing that is out there. But I do believe as we are continuing in these days of prayer and seeking God, and some are still fasting, that we pray for those that are under tyrants and wicked leaders, and we remember the persecuted church. And we remember that even in this region, in our state, it's possible to come under the attack through judicial attacks. I believe our taxation on our property, maybe it was not necessarily intended. I can't blame any one person. But I believe it's the enemy that came to kill, steal, and destroy. And whether it's just $3,500 or, as another pastor was telling me, they received a tax bill for something like $35,000. And so if our property was appraised at its current market value, we would have a tax bill in the neighborhood of $35,000. And so some might say, well, Pastor, why is it important that we stand up and seek to have the freedom of tax exemption over our property? Why is that so important? It's important because that's freedom that some of our forefathers gave their lives for, and they gave their wealth for, and they were willing to stand up. I don't want to park there too long, but we have midterm elections coming up, and I pray that we are a catalyst to ignite everyone we know to be involved in these midterm elections. Do not think they're not important. They are vitally important. It is extremely important who is brought into office. And I've had one of the city commissioners on several times on the radio station, interviewed him. And repeatedly when I asked him, what can the church do to have a greater witness in the community from your position as a commissioner? And he said, one of the greatest public witnesses you could have is show up at the public meetings and voice your opinion. Come as the body of Christ. If you don't like to see the things that are taking place in our city, our nation, our county, our government, then be a part of the change. We still have laws and freedoms here in our nation, and we can praise God for those and be a part of the answer and the solution. Is that all right if I get a little political there? I can't help myself. I've got to say that. Because anybody can be a critic, can criticize, find fault, but I believe as the body of Christ that we are to spend our time crying out to God and acting, being involved. So selfish activity, it involves the judicial area. I've been to court a lot of times with a lot of different people, and I've also faced many lawsuits on behalf of this church over the years. None of them ever were successful. None of them. However, it cost money. And I remember our first big series of lawsuits was on Central Parkway, and that expense was well over $20,000. It neared $30,000 in that battle that went on. We had attorneys from down south, Boca, and had to bring in attorneys that were able to represent us on a higher level. And so this is a battle that's going on. And some of you may have been pulled into court. I believe the body of Christ needs to have a financial, spiritual war chest so we can come alongside of a Christian businessman, a Christian businesswoman, a church in the community, a pastor in the region, or anyone else that's in our area that needs to have legal representation. And so this is something I believe strongly in. All right, so we see that there's a judicial side. There also is a physical side. And the social side of the love of God is real. We do not bring a social gospel or a gospel that's simply about taking care of the needs, the physical needs of an individual. But I would direct your attention, even though you'll be very familiar with this scripture, to go with me to James chapter 2, and just remind ourselves of this scripture. James chapter 2, and let's drop down to verse 14. James 2:14. Dear brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? Do you know Christianity is a show and tell relationship with God? It's not just a tell, it is a show and tell. Prove it by your actions. That kind of faith can't save anyone, the faith that has no action attached to it. Suppose you see a brother or sister who needs food or clothing, and you say to them, good day. That was my translation. Good day. trust you do well. I'm praying for you. All that's my translation. But the Word of God says, suppose you see a brother or sister, they need food, they need clothing, and you say, well, goodbye and God bless you. Stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, it isn't enough to just have faith. Faith that doesn't show itself by good deeds is no faith at all. It is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. Some may say, that's just not my gift. That's not what God made me to do. That's not what God's made me to be. And this addresses that thought. Some people might argue, some have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, and this is the Spirit of the living God speaking, I can't see your faith if you don't have good deeds. In other words, God is saying, live the life. Live the life. Yes, believe in God, but live the life of love, faith, and service. And James finishes that verse by saying, I will show you my faith through my good deeds. Selfless action. Then the third area in Isaiah 58, I would like to now go to those verses 8 and 9. And to me, I just entitled this revival, The Breakthrough. Why do we seek God? Why do we pray? I know James says the effectual, fervent prayer, the righteous availeth much. Isn't it great that that story is in James? That God brought Elijah into the New Testament. The Holy Spirit wanted us to look at his life and to realize that just as he had, we would say, boy, I wish I had that kind of a connection with God. That I could just pray and the heavens would be closed and God would answer my prayers and God would hear my prayer and God would move quickly on my behalf. Well, you do have that relationship with God. We do have that relationship with God. Nick put his arm around me this morning and said, it's time for miracles, signs, and wonders. You're absolutely right, Nick. That passage in James 5 is there to remind us and to call us to believe in God. To exercise our faith. I do not believe in cessation theology. I do not believe that God quit working on the earth, in his people, or through his people, just because the apostles died. They went to heaven, but we are the apostles that are on the earth today to do the work that needs to be done. And so when we come to this passage, I see it as the breakthrough. Yes, fasting, we examine ourselves. Yes, we check to see if we're actually serving others while we are going through this season of fasting. But then in verses 8 and following, the promise is this. Then, if you do these things, your salvation will come like the dawn. Yes, your healing will come when? What's going to happen with your healing? Going to come quickly. Is that okay with you? And if you needed a healing long enough? Normally after about 5 minutes, I'm like, this is enough of this. And I know some people say, I'm sick for God's glory. Well, that means you were testifying for Christ and somebody put you in jail or somebody shot you or somebody beat you up because of your testimony. God will get glory out of that. But you may say, well, I was born this way. Then God's glory is going to set you free of the way you were born. Hello. And over the years, I've had people say to me, Pastor Jonathan, why don't you accept the condition of your son Andrew? Why don't you just deal with that resolve that is the way he's going to be? And I ask them, when you come for prayer, why are you coming for prayer? Why do you ask me to lay hands on you? Do you want me to pray that God adds more trouble to your trouble? Do you want me to pray that you have double trouble? Do you want me to pray that you have double illness? Do you want me to pray that you have double broke? Why did you come for prayer? Oh, well, Pastor, we need a miracle. Oh, well, praise God. Then let's believe a miracle for one another. There is nothing too hard for God. God has not given up his throne. He has not given the enemy control on the earth in the year of 2026. This is the year of our Lord, and we are the people of our Lord. And God has raised us up to believe him, trust him, and act upon his word. And the devil's going to say, well, what if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't work? Well, I'll tell you what. I remember when I was laying flat in a bed during the resurrection season that pronounced me dead in the street. And I remember not knowing that day if I would ever be able to speak again and preach the Word of God. But I remember testing in my mind all the questions. Satan was saying, why would God let something like this happen to you? And all I knew was that God was still God and the devil was a loser and I was on the winning side. That's all that I knew. And I remember crying out to God and saying, Father, I don't know if I'll ever be able to speak from a pulpit again. I don't know if I'll ever be able to lead in prayer another group. But as long as I have breath, help me to shout as loud as I can that my God has not lost His power, has not lost His throne, and enable me to be a voice that shouts victory in Jesus' name. This is the breakthrough. Yes, it is requiring a passionate pursuit. Yes, I know there's a day when God's going to call me home, and listen, don't call me back. When God calls me home, let me go on home. You can talk to Miss Toddy about that. She had an issue with her husband leaving her when he did, and I understand. But I'll tell you, Rob Neal was not coming back. He was in glory. God said enough, and when God's going to take us home, then amen, I'm ready to go. I know I have an appointment with Him, but I know that today God is my healer. I know I'm standing here today because of the healing power of God. I know what the doctors told me, that I would never be able to stand and walk unless they cut and chopped and reworked my backbone after being thrown through the air in an accident. I know what the specialist said when they did the examination of my brain. They did brain mapping and they said, you have a lot of problems. You have a lot of problems. And told me that it may never clear up, that I may always have those problems. I'm here to tell you I do not have those problems. I have a clear mind, a sound mind. I can memorize. I can study. I can preach the Word of God. I can pray. You can too. You can too. Instead of giving the enemy credit for anything going on in your life, say, I'm going to shout and I'm going to shout and I'm going to shout as loud as I can that God is my Savior, He is my healer, He is my deliverer, and He is at work in my life and at work in my family. And I will not be silent. I will not be silent. If you do these things, your salvation will come like the dawn. I see that as a new sunrise of the impact and fruitfulness of your life. That God is saying that we need to seek Him in seasons of prayer and fasting until. I like that song Skip Bray's put together years ago. It was push, pray, until something happens. The only thing I would just say, pray until God does His work in and through our lives. Your healing will come quickly. Your godliness will lead you forward. Tell the enemy he's a liar. You're not a puny saint. You're not a poor witness. You're not a weak Christian. You're not barely dragging your way into heaven. That you're a strong warrior and God doesn't make any junk. And you are full of the Spirit of God. And God has plans for your life that's going to mess the devil's kingdom up. And God is using you and is going to continue to use you. And God is going to provide for you. And God is going to provide for us. One thing the Lord reminded me this morning was back in the day when a businessman said, either you come up with, I think it was 20-some thousand, I don't know how much it was. But I remember him saying, either you come up with that by Friday, 5 o'clock, or the church doors are going to be chained and locked Sunday morning. And I'll have a court order that keeps you out of the church. And I remember that prayer meeting that Friday morning as I was in prayer. I said, Lord, how should I look at this? And I realized that there was a right way to look at it. And I began to pray, Father, if this piece of property, this little 4.88 acres on Central Parkway, is too small for you to accomplish what you have in mind, then I'm going to start praying for 20 acres right now. If the enemy thinks he's going to get something, he may get a 4.88 acre piece, but it's yours, God, and he's not going to get it from me. If you let him take something, it's because you have something better and you want us to move on to the next thing. I didn't know that God would give us what He's given us today, and we would now have people chasing to want to buy it. But I'll tell you what happened. I began to praise God just thinking about that. We had plans for 4.88 acres. Now we have plans for about 14 and a half acres. And so God has given us much more. God did not give us the land and not have a plan to provide the resources to get us there. God didn't give us a building that's in a trailer and plan to leave it parked there until it rots out. And God didn't raise us up in this city to not have a strong and powerful witness. Your godliness, God in your life, I love it, will lead you forward, not backwards. Say, not backwards. I'm not being led backwards. I'm not being led into doubt and unbelief. I am being led forward by the Spirit of God. And the glory of the Lord will do what? It'll protect what? It'll protect you from the rear. Will be your rear guard. You don't need to worry about what's going on behind you. Look ahead to what God's calling you to. And the promise is you're going to have the breakthrough. Then when you call, the Lord will answer, "Yes, I am here." He will quickly reply. He will quickly reply. Verse 10, feed the hungry, help those in trouble. Then your light will shine from the darkness. And the darkness, where? Around you, will be as bright as day. The Lord will guide you continually, watering your life when you are dry and keeping you healthy too. You will be like a well-watered garden, an ever-flowing spring. Your children, any of you have children, any of you have grandchildren, great-grandchildren, your children will do what? Rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. You know what that is? That's the good old days. Oh, those were the good old days. Those were the good old days. Devil wants to remind you of old days and say those were the best days. Just tell the enemy to shut up. He's a liar. That the best days are ahead of you in your life. You are going to have so much more in your future than you have ever had in the past. And I claim that in Jesus' name. Claim that in Jesus' name. So this morning, y'all are going to think I'm really crazy, but I remember the morning I was praying for, I don't know how many thousand it was we needed at that time. My son was in the car with me, and we were on the way to school, and I was praying for however many thousand and 100,000 and maybe 500,000, whatever it was, or a million. And my son, after I was finished with my prayer, he said, "Dad, why don't you pray for a gazillion dollars?" And I still don't know what a gazillion dollars is. He was a little guy in elementary school at the time. And he went on to say, "Dad, is it more difficult for God to provide a gazillion dollars than it is 1,000? And I received a message from my son that morning. And this morning as I was in prayer and I'm saying, "Father, we need 60, 70,000 for the pipe. We have rock we've got to put out there. We have a final payment with this area of work of $50,000 to pay the contractor. We've given him $50,000. He's sitting on that $50,000. Been praying for that like $120,000. God said, "You need to readjust your faith. I'm not going to leave that land vacant. You need to go in and say this morning that we're building. We're building. We're developing. God is providing." Say, "Well, how is he going to do that?" I don't know how he's going to do it. Maybe he'll do it through me. I don't know. Maybe somebody will walk through the door. I don't know. I don't know how God's going to provide. Maybe he'll do it through you. I don't know. But I know this. I know that God is not finished with this church and is not finished with this nation yet. Because I can see that God raised up a politician that had more guts than most preachers. I wish the pastors in our nation, I pray that the pastors in our nation would stand up for the truth as our president has stood up for his agenda. Whether you agree with him or you don't agree with him, at least he has guts. And he stands up for something. And pastors, many pastors have quit. They watered down the word because they're afraid the people will leave. The people won't come. I'll lose half my church. I won't be able to pay the bills. This isn't about my church. I don't have a church. I'm a part of the body of Christ just like you are. And God is our provider. Who knows? God might choose to drop a few million in your pocket. You may say, "You know, I'm going to have to cut a big check to make that happen." I was sitting with a pastor and he said, "Jonathan," back in one day, he said, "what's the biggest donation you guys have ever received?" And And I shared with him some of the donations over the years. He said, I've never had donations like that. He said, what do you give God credit for? How did that happen? And I said, I believe it happened because we've loved the body of Christ and we've sought to love other pastors. We've made our facilities available to any other church that needed them. We've taken offerings to build other churches in our city. We've loaned things that we've had since the beginning days to other ministries to use. We've never claimed anything as our own. It's always belonged to you. And I believe it's for that reason. That pastor had the day when in the offering was a $1 million tithe check. Paid off all their buildings, paid off everything. And that wasn't the end. That was the beginning of a breakthrough that came to that pastor. That pastor began to sponsor and pay long before this happened, after our early meetings. He began to invite other pastors together. He would take the pastors out to lunch. He paid the whole bill. Didn't care what they ordered. Month after month, year after year, year after year. No big increase, no signs of anything. And then one day, $1 million tithe check came in, the offering. And you know what happened? God gave an idea to somebody in that congregation. They developed that idea. It turned into a mega $1 million business. They sold the business, and their tithe on the business was $1 million. Don't underestimate the power of God in your life, in your family, in your today, and in your future.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Join us every Saturday at 7 p.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM for a special program, Thy Word is a Lamp, where you will hear the dynamic teaching of Sheila Suarez, the fresh manna. Thy Word is a Lamp, the fresh Word of God, children of God.
Thy Word is a Lamp, yeah.
Hello, I'm Charles Stanley. God is amazing in so many ways. One that still leaves me in awe is the fact He's always available to us. When you listen to In Touch, I pray you're encouraged to spend quality time alone with God. We'll study His Word for ways to help you enjoy a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We're always in touch when we walk close to God and understand His will for our lives.
In Touch, heard daily at 8:05 a.m. and p.m. right here on WCNO.
You're listening to WCNO Palm City. Hi, Alexander Alfano inviting you to listen to the Religious Liberty Report, our weekly news brief on Religious Liberty News on WCNO 89.9 FM at 1 p.m. on Saturday afternoons. Hope to see you there.